Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Let's go, baby. What's good? What's good? What's good? We welcome you in here into the Tuesday, October 8th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barlin.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Our man Jesse out for the next couple of weeks. He's getting married this weekend. Our man Joe Brazil hanging out with us here. Appreciate you, Joe. Appreciate you so much for being with us. If you're watching on YouTube, Twitch, if you're listening on the Odyssey app, iHeart app, smart speaker, if you're listening on 1320 AM, 98.5 FM HD2, whatever it is, we appreciate you. It's Trista Tuesday. Trista Crick will be with us coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. Our man Jason Jones will be with us in the final hour of the show. We got Kings basketball jumping off tomorrow. Man, we've got Overreaction Tuesday. We've got a lot to talk about. We got some stuff that we didn't get to yesterday that we hope we can get to today. Your idea of Shador to the Raiders is almost certainly gone as Joe Flacco is on his way to the Bengals. Mm. The Bengals quarterback situation is so bad. They said, you know what? Let's go get Joe Flacco, who was benched by the Cleveland effing Browns for being really, really awful. Makes sense.
Look, I'm not hating. Keep getting your money. Keep playing. Doing what you got to do. People got to stop this with Joe Flacco, bro.
And like, it's so funny.
He shouldn't have been starting in Cleveland to begin with.
Shout out to the aggregators and all of them who send out those push alerts saying Super Bowl MVP traded to a division rival. Sorry, what year was that? A Super Bowl quarterback from 3 decades ago was traded. But no, it's fine. That's how you get people to click on the article. But Joe Flacco's headed to the Bengals, which means Shador now really is, and I don't remember if you said it or Jesse said it, but Shador's now a sprained ankle away from being the quarterback in Cleveland. Yeah. Or maybe more specifically, being a starting quarterback in the NFL.
He went through he started off as the third string.
Started as the third.
In training camp, wasn't he 4? So they traded Kenny Pickett. They now traded Flacco, and he's gone from 4 to backup in a month and a half.
Yeah. And
in all fairness, I didn't watch a ton of that game. I saw some of it. Dylan Gabriel was fine.
The Cleveland game.
Yeah. He was fine. He had 2 touchdowns in that game. I don't think he turned the ball over. So for a rookie, he gave him a chance to win. So if it's not injury, looks like Dylan's going to hold on to that spot for a while, man.
Yeah, it's not a change. Like, if, I mean, he's a third round pick. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to give him an opportunity to play. They were in position to beat Minnesota there, regardless of what you think of Minnesota. They're better than Cleveland. Mm-hmm. They were in a position to get the job done. He wasn't super accurate, but he also, I don't think he, in his first start, tried to extend himself too much. Like, he wasn't, you know, throwing the ball 50 yards down the field. He wasn't trying to rack up, you know, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow yardage numbers. He just kind of worked with what he had, played within the game. They leaned on the run a lot in that game. So you can't make the switch with the idea of, oh, if we have to, we'll make the switch again. Dillon Gabriel's, you drafted him pretty significantly higher, especially in football terms, pretty significantly higher than you did Shedeur Sanders. Like, this is your quarterback, and you got to give him a real opportunity to fail at this. And we'll see Shedeur on the field if Dillon Gabriel gets hurt.
Yeah.
Or he's just unbearably awful, which I don't – I think, like, this game against Minnesota, which is really good defense, mm-hmm. I think this showed that's probably not going to be the case.
Yeah, playing against a great defense like that, really good defense like that, away from the States – you know, different preparation. He held his own now when talking about Dillon Gabriel. So I'm anxious to see, in all seriousness, anxious to see what he can do with his opportunity as the season goes along. Because I'm not a believer. I don't think Dillon Gabriel's that good. Like, I don't think he's better than Shedeur Sanders. But that first game, he did all right. And let's see if he can take advantage of this opportunity.
It would be nice to see Shedeur play quarterback in the NFL.
Man, that would be a whirlwind if he steps on that field.
And the tough part about there's outside of like Patrick Mahomes' success, there's nothing he's hit a really unfortunate professional athlete arc. I guess it's not that different. He's Bronny James, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, Bronny could wind up being a really, really good basketball player. But he'll always be hated because he's LeBron James' son. He'll always be hated by a group of people because he's LeBron James' son. Shedeur is in the same exact position. Barring him taking over for an injured Dillon Gabriel and becoming, you know, Patrick Mahomes immediately, he's always going to have people who hate him because of his dad. He's always going to have people who hate him because he isn't what they think an NFL court. Basically, the outkick.com people, they're always going to hate the likes of Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
And even him just being a good quarterback isn't going to be good enough for people. Like, him, Bronny, those type of guys are always going to be extremely polarizing individuals. I would love to just see Shedeur get a chance to play. But I don't see the Browns making any sort of trade now, given the fact that he's their number two.
Right.
Now, maybe in this situation, maybe Kenny Pickett makes more sense, and now you just swap back, and you say maybe send Shedeur. Because Kenny Pickett's the Raiders' backup quarterback,
yep,
isn't
yep,
he?
Yep.
Send Kenny Pickett back to Cleveland. You have a quarterback with a little bit more NFL experience, and then you could send Shedeur to Las Vegas and let that become what it becomes.
Right.
But I don't think that that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. I think Shedeur is, like we started off saying, he's right there with a possible opportunity to get in these games.
When Trey was number one, Lance, Jimmy was two, Brock was three, right? Trey goes out, Jimmy goes in, Brock becomes number two, Jimmy goes out, Brock.
Well, no, Trey.
Is that wrong?
When Trey was drafted, there was no Brock.
No, right.
Oh, you mean
but
the
Trey,
second
yeah,
year.
And Trey wasn't a
Well,
Trey,
the second year was Trey, Jimmy, then Brock. Trey started.
Trey, Jimmy, Brock.
Oh, I thought
Brock.
You said Jimmy was the
No,
was
but
the
then Trey went out, right? Mm-hmm. That was that year.
Mm-hmm.
Trey went out, Jimmy became the one. Brock became the two. Jimmy goes out. That's how the thing that I was working through is I can't think of a situation where one and two on your quarterback depth chart were rookies.
Mm.
In the 49ers case, it was, well, I mean, one and three.
Yeah.
But what? Trey wasn't even a rookie.
Yeah.
It was his first year as the quarterback, but he wasn't a rookie.
Yeah. Damien, people don't normally do that. No. Yeah, shout out Cleveland for whatever the hell you were doing in this draft. Yeah, we can't think of another situation because people, sane people, don't normally do that.
Yeah, I can't think of one. That can't think of a single team that's ever done that. Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin III were the same draft.
Mm-hmm.
Was there someone in between those two on the depth chart?
I feel like Kirk was the backup. Because
when, so there's a 1-2 situation, no?
Yeah, yeah. Which wasn't that.
That's that wasn't right. They were taking the same draft. Yeah. I got that right, right?
I think Kurt was like fourth round or something like that. Which didn't make any sense. Well, it made sense because the Shanahans probably didn't like Robert Griffin as much as Daniel Snyder did. And they end up taking a quarterback later anyway. But it was the wrong decision then. It was the wrong decision for the Browns to do it. I think Kurt was too because he came in and played after Griffin first hurt his knee against the Ravens.
Yeah, I searched an article, found one from 11 years ago that Robert Griffin III was the starter. Kirk Cousins was his backup.
Mm.
Mm. That's incredible. But I don't think that oh well, this explains why Rex Grossman was the third quarterback on that.
Wasn't it on PTI they would call him Sexy Rexy?
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Rex Grossman. That was,
I can't remember if that was Kornheiser or Wilbon, but that was that was all time. So that's 14. Now I'm kind of obsessing over this.
I'm trying to think if there was another scenario. Rookie just drafted. That's the key. Like drafting in the same
Griffin
draft.
Cousins. Yeah, it was the same thing. It was for the 2 years. It was RG3, Kirk Cousins, and Rex Grossman.
Yeah, the Browns. Shouldn't have done.
Robert Griffin III, that was a first round pick.
Number two overall, I believe.
Behind Andrew Luck.
Sounds right. Yep. Yep. I think it was number two overall.
Yeah.
And if
I question that because Andrew Luck didn't win the Heisman Trophy. He lost it to Robert Griffin III. Mm-hmm. He also didn't win Rookie of the Year. He lost that to Robert Griffin III.
Mm.
So it made me think, wait a minute, was he the number one overall pick? Yes, he was, in fact, the number one overall pick. It's just... what? I'm sorry. That was very visual. I apologize. This is the most amazing place. I wonder if, like people just walk in, like, on, like, doctors going, oh... Sorry,
during
I was just,
surgery.
Just looking for something. I didn't see anything. Shout out, Eddie. That's a girl. She might have been looking for you. I don't know.
I better say, I don't know. Who was she looking for?
She had to have been looking for Joe. I don't know. That's Joe's.
Okay.
Joe's.
Yeah, no, she was. That was I probably should have said to come in because she's new. So I was like, if you need anything, come. I told her to
come in the studio.
Come in the studio.
You know what the sad part is? She's probably mortified
right
now.
She is right now. She is.
Like, she's hot.
She's already texting me.
She has, like, sweat dripping down her. Like, she's so mortified that she just walked in.
I need to go tell her it's okay.
Yeah, please assure her it is perfectly fine. That's the least offensive thing that has ever happened on this show.
Yeah.
Most people come in and go, hey, are you guys on?
Exactly.
The radio. Like, now? Okay, I'll come back. Hey, there's some people who want to be, but it's fine. I'll come back, guys. It's okay. Keep talking. RG3? No, that's good. What year is it, jackasses? That's how we're treated here. Ain't no culture coders over here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
See why.
It's the gratitude we get. The crap.
That's the gratitude I get from you pieces of crap.
Oh, that's terrific. Absolutely terrific. So, yeah, the Bengals situation is so bad they went to get Joe Flacco. Goodness gracious. We talked a little bit. We talked a little bit about this with Kyle. Jacksonville here, yeah? Jaguars?
Jack's a good team. That's a good team.
That's big time.
Yeah.
That was a big time. That was a hell of a game against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
They got the job done. They got the job done late. I would have been really curious to see how that last drive from the Chiefs played out without that kickoff penalty.
Mm.
You lost. You pretty much lost everything on that kickoff penalty. And it's like, all right, yeah, like even Patrick Mahomes has his limits here.
Yeah, yeah, that's he can only do so much mm-hmm. in those situations, especially this year with this particular team. And I, like I said, somebody reminded me, so I'm not gonna like go off on dude like I was before, because Chris Jones has been dealing with some personal stuff. I think this week was the funeral for his aunt. Like he mm-hmm. left practice. Or no, it was last week. The funeral was Sunday morning.
Sunday, yeah.
And he flew back for the game and stuff. So you never know how somebody's dealing with that. So I'm not gonna be disrespectful to that. But I do think you can buy in kind of like with that play we saw at the end of the game there with Trevor Lawrence getting in. Some of the miscues early, I think back to that Chargers game when he just, you know, it wasn't locked in to keep containment, and the linebacker got mad at him and told him, you know, all this other stuff. And I think it's a microcosm a little bit for the Chiefs, where their complete focus just isn't there the way it has been in years past, trying to win a championship. And that's not even a knock on them. That's human nature. Like, you've won, what, 3 championships with this group?
Yeah.
Just won back-to-back, lost the Super Bowl in the 3rd one or whatever. Yeah, you're sleeping in silk sheets a little bit. You know, Kenny Smith once said, you're eating your soup with a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
You're hungry when you're eating it with a fork.
Mm.
And it's human nature. It's natural. It's not like it's not like these guys are or bums or they're not trying. It's just, it's different. Like, it's not the same type of hunger. And then you also look into the situation where last year, what were they? 11-1 in one score games or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I am a big believer of one score games, turnovers, for no reason at all. These things flip from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And one year you could be 11-1 in one score games. And right now I think they're 0-4?
Yeah, 0-3.
0-3.
Yeah, they one score game against the Jaguars, one score game against the Eagles, one score game against Jacksonville. That's their 3 losses. They beat New York 22-9. They beat the Giants, 22-9. They beat the Ravens, like everybody else, 37-20.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean they'll just never win one score games this year, but 11-1 is a little. It's not. I don't want to call it lucky.
11-1 when you were questioning though how they were playing,
right?
When you're like, it doesn't like look right. Like, and they got the respect because last season they had won the last 2 championships.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not referring to them like we did the Steelers a handful of years ago, or these teams that win a bunch of games, and you're just watching them going, yeah, I know they're like 9-1 or 10-1. They're not the best team in the league. Like, mm-hmm. I know what I'm watching. the Kansas City Chiefs got the benefit of the doubt. And it always became, okay, when you get in a fight or a shootout or whatever with Buffalo, with Baltimore in January at the end of January, are you going to be able to muster up the same type of energy where you're winning at the last minute, where you're winning these one score games, you're getting that stop, you're doing all that? Can you do that in that moment? And the answer was yes. They were able to do it all the way till they got to the Super Bowl and got their ass kicked.
Yeah.
But in their defense, that wasn't a one score game. So.
Right.
Far, far from it.
If it was one score, we would have won.
Of course. Yeah, that's the obvious rationale. Yeah. But right now, that stat that got so much made of it has flipped the other way here through the first 5 weeks. And it doesn't get any easier as Detroit is next.
It doesn't get any easier at all. Like, their schedule is tough. We can go back. Like,
the 19th doesn't look too...
Well, no, that's... It's a get-right game. We're
being jerks. It's the Raiders. It is a divisional game, though, and we've seen a bad Raiders team beat a good Kansas City team before.
Yeah.
But it's Detroit. It's the Raiders. It's the Commanders. Those are all at home, if I got that right. Mm-hmm. Then they're at Buffalo on November 2nd before their bye week.
Then at Denver.
Oh, man.
Home versus the Colts.
Man.
At Dallas, we don't really know what they are, but they got a good offense.
Yeah, there's some points. If Dak Prescott's on the field, there's going to be some points scored.
Houston and the Chargers.
Maybe the Houston Texans turn it around by then. Chargers ass.
So.
No, I'm sorry. That was shade. I was just kidding.
So, beat their ass in week one.
Yeah, did that in a one-score game.
Right. But it's brutal for the Chiefs.
Yeah, not good.
It is brutal for the Chiefs, man. And it doesn't mean that they can't win these games. It's just, there's no disrespect. But you don't get a string of games like the Raiders.
But
you get one of those, and then you got to go up against playoff teams.
Yeah, they don't have very many of those at all.
You don't have three, four games to kind of get right.
When you look at this schedule, I mean, the Raiders are a division game, right? But you have them twice. When you just look at football teams that look bad, and you've got Tennessee. Unless I'm missing something, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of those types of games that you're referring to, that's it.
Right.
And again, those division ones are always a bit sketchy, no matter how bad that divisional opponent is. And in this case, it's the Las Vegas Raiders. And in this case, they're really bad right now. Mm-hmm. That first matchup is in 2 weeks. The second one is the last game of the season. Who knows what everything looks like by then. But here's what I'll say about Kansas City and why. I mean, there's a multitude of reasons that I can't just throw my hands up with them and say, you know, we'll do this in overreaction later. But they committed an absurd amount of penalties yesterday. Mm. That's correctable. I'm asking a lot of questions if I'm Andy Reid. Like, when did we become this team?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, let's sit down and go 13 penalties, 109 yards. When did we become that?
Mm.
They had a play, again, the Kendrick Bourne drop after the turnover. They're plays that you call back on when the game gets close. It was 14-0 for the 49ers. They had forced that turnover, and you're thinking, they might be able to open this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, Kendrick Bourne drops that third down pass. Rams get the ball back, come back and score. Now it's 14-7, and all of a sudden the game is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
They had a moment, they being the Kansas City Chiefs, had a moment like that yesterday where the Jaguars were moving and they were in the red zone and they had an interception bounce off of two or three defenders and it's like floating in the air and they just couldn't grab it. And it was like, now that wasn't, that was a moment where you're up against, you got a lot of different things going on. Should you intercept that ball, but you stop them from scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a play that I thought, okay, I'm going to throw that in my mental notebook for later. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they score off that. It comes back and say, okay, there's another one to think about. And I thought their defense on that last drive was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence did. I mean, those are the things I expect to see from a quarterback who's talked about the way Trevor Lawrence is. So I'm not going to be critical. Like, he did that. But that Chiefs defense shouldn't be that bad either.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot, but you talk about stuff like that. You talk about the penalties. It's the little lack of focus.
That's it, yeah.
That happens sometimes when you experience a lot of success. Or you look at stuff like a close game, like the record last year, and once we just know how to win. We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And they almost have a couple of times, right? But you rely on that instead of saying from the start, let's buckle down, let's make sure we're on top of things. And we talked about it yesterday. In this NFL this year in particular, it's a lot of like 50-50 games, one play, one drive is the difference in the winner or loss. Because mm-hmm. these teams are so even. So they haven't been able, in the first 5 weeks, they've had too many times when the Chiefs have kind of just lacked focus from the start of the game that you need to be able to pull some of these games out, maybe relying on their championship pedigree and the fact that they were good in one-score games in the past and thinking that'll get them by, and it hasn't been able to get them by so far this year. One other thing with the Chiefs this year that is very, very difficult, and I got to cite my sources, your boy, Bill Simmons, brought this up. Joe's boy, Bill Simmons, brought this up when at the beginning of the season, and I see the logic. Heavy is the head that wears the crown because they've got a gang of primetime games and they put you in these primetime spots. I'm looking at the schedule right now and this upcoming week is one, going into Washington is two, that's a Monday night, Washington into Buffalo is two. They play on Thanksgiving, they play on Christmas. That's four games on short rest. Four games and two on super short rest. Like most teams don't get two Thursday games. They got two Christmas is on Thursday.
Yeah.
So they're playing two games on a Sunday to a Thursday. I think one is in Dallas, the other's at home. But these are little things in the schedule that kind of matter. Not necessarily always the opponent, but when you're playing two games and when you play the Washington game on Monday night, you're not playing the Raiders on Sunday. You're playing Washington on Monday night. Short rest into Buffalo. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough mm-hmm. for a team that isn't exactly the same Chiefs team they've been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
All these little things matter. We'll talk about it a little bit later and we'll revisit it again. Will they make the playoffs? I see a pathway, but I'm going to stick with no. But we'll break it down a little bit more later.
Also, for the second straight week, it feels appropriate to point out Devin Lloyd is nasty.
What a play.
I don't know what that. I think there's an ESPN segment. That boy bad. He
what a play.
Is cold. That Jacksonville Jaguars defense is legit. We'll come back. We missed some things yesterday we really wanted to get into with college football. We'll do that for the briefest of moments. And how about that report from Shams Charania?
Big time.
Tick-tock.
Big time. The writing's on the wall. Mm-hmm. The writing's on the wall. Also, when we come back, it's kind of hot off the presses a little bit.
Okay. The presses, yes, because it's 1956. It's correct.
We got some big-time Sacramento news. Big-time Sacramento. I think you'll like this a lot.
All right.
Because I do. I know you will.
We'll touch on that when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and Casey on the home for Sacramento Sports Talk, ESPN 1320.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
All right, head over to BakerFamilyWines.com. Join Dusty's Clubhouse for exclusive releases and tasting room specials. Savor those beautifully balanced European-inspired wines, man. Dusty loves his wines. He puts so much into every single bottle that goes out. He told the story of the rosé here on this show, how he made it for his mom, and they didn't get to get that first test to her before we lost her. But it was such a great story. Like, Dusty is an amazing storyteller. He puts so much passion in everything he does, whether it's baseball, which he still does, or it's wine. And if you want to experience it for yourself, head over to Baker Family Wines. It's in West Sacramento. It's here. We gathered there a couple of weeks ago. It's a real fun spot to hang out, have some fun. We're going to be doing it again very, very soon. But make sure you grab that wine bottle with the baseball stitch on it. You can get Baker Family Wines at most Nuggets. You could definitely get it at the one in Granite Bay. You can get it at the one in Elk Grove. You can get them at different Raley's and Bel Air locations. Just head over to the wine section. Look for that baseball stitch. Look for that Baker Family Wine logo and grab yourself a couple of bottles. We used to have bottles in here to grab and show you here on the screen. We had to take them home. They were here too long. And people started threatening, like, hey, if you know, I'm gonna start taking some wine home. And it's like, all right, we get it. So we handed a few out to the staff here, took our own bottles. Shout out to Chick and Dusty for always treating us well with those bottles. But go try it for yourself. Yes. Over at, again, Raley's, Bel Air, Nugget, whatever. Grab you a bottle of Baker Family Wine.
100%, man. And I'm a big fan of the rosé.
That's my bag.
That's my bag.
If you're not rich, like
you,
Kenny.
No, like you.
I don't have a wine fridge. I know that.
What that got to do with it?
Just chill that bottle of wine a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, man, that goes a long way for that rosé. It took it from, for me, I'll speak for me, took it from a solid 7, maybe 7.2, to like a 9.5.
Mm.
I take that, but that's a lie. It's a 10. I think it's 10. The best rosé I've had.
It's bomb.
Yeah.
Absolutely bomb.
It's the one. Grab your bottle of that.
Yeah. Hey, once again, hot off the presses.
Yeah. See? Yeah, it's doing it here. See? We've got those here. A flash from Dallas, Texas.
Extra.
Hot off the presses here.
We got a little Gunnar Barling. Extra. Read all about it.
Can you carry away with the news here? Jesus Christ, man.
Oh, man. Just got an email. Not me. I think you got it, too. Maybe you just haven't seen it. Or maybe you did. November 10th.
Okay.
Tuesday, November 10th at the Golden One Center. Women's basketball as the UCLA Bruins, number 3 in ESPN's early preseason rankings, take on the number 6 Oklahoma Sooners at the Golden One Center. That is fire. You talk about Lauren Betts, you talk about Kiki Rice, and you talk about Aaliyah Sanchez, the number 1 player in the nation this past year at Oklahoma. That's box office.
This is very exciting news. Do we know why?
Well, I don't know why. One speculation is the regionals are here. And
that's where I was going.
You know, like a little bit of a prelude for the city of Sacramento for what you might see in March.
There we go.
But I don't know who's technically hosting it. I remember Sac State used to do this, you know, a few years, maybe about 10 years ago at this point, where they had – men's basketball, and it would be like Sac State versus Davis, and then the second half of the doubleheader. One year was like Cal versus San Diego State. Another year was Stanford versus Kansas. And I love those things. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love those things. So I wish they would do that more often.
Mm-hmm.
And we got this November 10th at the Golden. We got star power in that game right there.
34-3 UCLA team last year. 34, or maybe it wasn't 34-3, but it was something crazy.
Yeah. Kiki and
Corey Close, I think, won Coach of the Year for sure. I think she won like 7 different Coaches of the Year last year.
Mm.
She won all of them.
They finally beat SC in the Big Ten Championship game. SC had got them twice.
Yeah. Yeah, we still ain't. We ain't gonna see Juju this year.
No, we just see her Commander games. That's it. That's you're right, Collins. You're right. November 10th, baby. November 10th, Golden One Center. We've got a diaper dandy, Elias Sanchez, Oklahoma Sooners, taking on the UCLA Bruins. Eight clap. We got Kiki Rice. We got Lauren Betts.
Where's the off button? Man.
Super scintillating sensational. Let's go.
Joe, just dump his mic. Look, you over here saying hi to your promo team. Will you turn his mic off, Joe? Yeah, poor Joe. Joe's scared to death. The whole promo team is in there now. Now I'm calling him out in front of his whole team. Joe, I was just playing.
I don't think they know that.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they know that.
Oh, that's okay.
It's fine. They'll learn.
No, you got to explain. No. He really loves me. It's just a
no,
joke.
Guys.
It's show material. That's all it is.
Just loves me.
It's just show material. That's all it is. That's great news for Sacramento. Yeah, great news for Sacramento. This is going to be an exciting stretch of basketball between Sac State, the women's regionals, and all of these different things we got going on, man. Yep. Very, very exciting. Exciting time for football. Coach's show returns tomorrow. Coach Marion, the Kenny Caraway version that airs at 7 o'clock, and then Coach will be back with us on Thursday. Not so much Sac State, but, man, it was a very eventful weekend in college football because it turns out Texas isn't very good.
Oh, man.
It also turns out Penn State sucks.
Oh,
and I'm here for that.
Gosh.
I'm here for that.
Penn State, we'll put Texas in here too. Preseason, Texas was number one. Penn State was number two.
Mm-hmm.
On October 7th,
mm-hmm.
Both teams are out of the top 25. Penn State deserves
two losses.
Penn State deserves. You can't lose to UCLA, bro.
No, I can't.
You can't. Winless UCLA.
Losing to Oregon is one thing.
Yeah.
You can't lose to UCLA.
That was awful. I was watching. Well, it wasn't awful. That was a great game. I was watching that game. I thought Penn State was going to pull it out. I thought they were going to complete the comeback and get it done. I was also, shout out to MultiView. They had it popping on Saturday because I was watching Florida and Texas as well. And
that's sweet.
And Arch just ain't.
You know what I would have liked to have done? I would have liked to have watched a football game with the WNBA finals, but YouTube said, no, that's too complicated. No. Sorry, man, can't do it.
That's a fail. What? They had it. They did. Why didn't they let it in the creative multi-view? Why didn't they let it?
They just let you add other football games. So, like, you could take a football game out.
It wasn't that on Sunday?
Yeah,
it was like two games.
You can add Fox News if you want to.
Yeah.
Or CNN or something like that, but you can't add the WNBA finals.
That's crazy. They did a good job of it on Saturday because I was able to add a bunch of college football games and like switch up the baseball game because they had the Brewers game on, which was 9-1 in the second inning. I said, get this off.
Got to keep an eye on that.
I said, get this off of here, and was able to put the Yankees Blue Jays game on. So they were doing a good job, but not on Sunday, I guess. But that's crazy. I read that was the first time since 1990 that it was just Penn State. I don't know what made it different between Penn State and Texas, but that a team ranked that high found their way out of the top 25 in 5 or 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was James Franklin. Come on, man. Come on. And essentially both of these teams – I think they're going to try to find – people have already started to make some arguments. I think both of them are out of the playoffs. We talk about this.
Oh, often. The amount of things that would have to happen for those two to get back into this conversation is absurd.
Well, they're good. I'm putting them at least at three losses because Texas takes on Oklahoma next week. They're going to lose that game. And Penn State's still got to play Ohio State. So we're going to have –
loss.
We're gonna have a three loss team in the playoffs?
No. Well, how many teams are in now? 24?
Not yet.
We're getting there.
Not yet.
We're getting there.
We're still the 12.
Eight. Oh, it's 12.
12. We're still at the 12. So, and now they're out. Texas and Penn State both out.
I mean, right now you've got Georgia Tech and Missouri at 13-14. You have BYU at 5-0 at 18. All of those teams I just mentioned don't have any losses. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really tough to work in a three-loss Penn State team or a three-loss.
At best.
Though, if you're ever going to finagle some math, I could see them trying to do it for Texas.
Texas with four losses getting in the playoff.
Texas, you know, we just decided, even though they were 500, we're going to put them here at the 12th seed.
Real quick, let me. I just.
No, I recognize Tennessee lost once all year, but it's just think this is best.
I'll try to see real quick. Oh, my gosh. They play Oklahoma.
It's number six, these
guys,
Oklahoma.
These guys might be 500. They play Oklahoma.
Number six.
They play number six, Oklahoma. They play Vandy. They probably could get that, even though Vandy's 20.
Vandy's
20.
They play
Georgia and Texas A&M.
Georgia's number 10. You said Texas A&M. They're five.
This guy's going to have five losses. Well, the committee just looked at the body of work.
Well, yeah, you know. Who did they keep out because their quarterback got hurt? Was it Florida State?
Florida State.
I mean, that was the right call.
Yeah.
But still, nah, I'm going to be honest, guys. We just wanted Arch in this thing. Like, it's fine.
Penn State still got to take on Ohio State, number five, and number seven, Indiana.
Arch going to announce he's staying for another year in no time.
Arch, the decision, part three.
No, I ain't going nowhere. What you mean? I'm re-upping all my NIL deals and keeping it moving. Keeping it moving, but it's Ohio State at number one, Miami at number two, Oregon, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, rounding out the top five. All right, we'll come back. Let's talk Giannis.
Let's do it.
Let's talk this report from Sham Sharania. This is bad for Milwaukee. Mm. They're just hanging by a string, but we'll
dead
talk about
team
it.
Walking.
Pretty much. Steve Lohman, KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
And KC, D-Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.